Thank you for listening to a dog training podcast that is like no other. We talk real, we share information based on 25 years of training dogs and working with their owners. Sit back and enjoy our podcast that will create more questions than you started with. If you find yourself wanting more, please join us in our dog community at dogtraining360.com and ask all of your questions. We hope to see you there. Hi, y'all. This is Joe Dickinson, dog trainer of 25 years, dog behavior specialist, cowgirl, horse trainer, animal and people lover, book author, entrepreneur, and business owner. I am talking to you from, well, anywhere in the world, actually. I do travel a lot. But my home base is my family ranch in Ogden, Utah, where I live with my humans, our 5 dogs, 7 horses, 3 cats, and many sheep and chickens. My passion is helping people build the human-animal bond through connection and training. I love teaching people how to train their own dogs, and my specialty is knowing that there is not just one way to do this. Dogs and people are all individuals. My goal is to help you find methods and tools that work for you, your dogs, and your current life situation. I'm a published author of the book, available on Amazon, Training Through the Eyes of Your Dog. I am excited for you to join me in Dog Training 360, where I will share my successful tips and training methods gained by working with thousands of dogs and their families for over 2 decades. I can't wait to go on this journey together with you and your dog.
Hi everyone, this is Dr. Rebecca Dixon, pediatrician, dog trainer, horseback rider, and animal lover, talking to you from Costa Rica, where I live with my family, including Oxford the Border Terrier and Mocha the German Shepherd. In my United States-based pediatric medical career, I spent 23 years working to improve the lives of children and their families, first through public health research and then as a pediatrician. I spent 8 years as an ICU doctor taking care of children and their families during the most challenging times of their lives, and then 3 years as a community-based general pediatrician. I am a pediatric researcher and published author in the areas of teenage parenting, adolescent health, and pediatric traumatic injury. In the summer of 2021, my wife and I officially embarked on a new adventure by retiring from medicine and moving from the United States to Costa Rica with my 80-year-old mother. Today, I am thriving by immersing myself in a brand new culture and language, learning new sports like surfing, growing vegetables in our yard, and playing with our dogs on the beaches and tropical jungles that surround our new home. For the past 12 years, I've been a boots-on-the-ground regular dog owner, just trying to work full-time and learn how to raise and train my own dogs, including a leash-reactive rescue dog and 2 puppies. Through my life in medicine and my life as a dog owner, I know, based on research and personal experience, that dogs contribute positively to human health. I am super excited to join Dog Training 360 so that I can share my tips, tricks, and learnings with you so that you can improve the relationship that you have with your own dogs.
Hi, everybody. We are here again with Dog Talk Joe. You are in the frozen land somewhere in the United States, right?
Yeah. Yep. Northern Utah in the cold.
And I'm here in sunny, warm Costa Rica. And we're getting together today to talk about getting your kids a dog. So there are so many places to go with this conversation.
For sure. Yeah.
But I think the first place to start for you, Joe, is say you have kind of an ideal situation where a family approaches you and they don't have a dog yet, mm-hmm. and they don't even have a like an idea of where or how to get a dog. They don't have their heart set on any particular dog, or even to rescue it from a shelter or buy it from a breeder or anything like that. It's mm-hmm. just a blank slate. And they've got, it's a family who lives in a typical American city, whatever that may be, or town, I guess. And they have 2 school-age kids. What do you say to people like that? What would be your first thing to talk about with them?
So the first thing that I talk about is what their lifestyle is and why they want to get the kids a dog. And then after that, we talk about that it ultimately is
the adults getting a dog and the kids are a part of it as they choose or can, are capable of being a part of it. And so it really changes the perspective at that point on what breed that that they're going to get. And then I have them sit down as a family and start looking at breeds of dogs that they like the looks of. So from there, it gives me an
idea. And why is
that? It gives me an idea of, one, what they, what their eye sees that they like. It gives me an idea of more of who they are. When I have, you know, some families that are into the smaller dogs, then it gives me some, it gives me a direction of maybe some other suggestions. Or if they're looking at, you know, hunting dogs because they like the sleek, short-haired look, it gives me some ideas for the direction based on their lifestyle and why they're getting a, why they're wanting to get a dog for their kids or adding a dog into their family. And so it keeps me, because I can say, oh, you should get a Spinoni, and they really want to have an Ys, you know, or they're in the small dog realm. So it gives me an idea of kind of the size, the look, and then we talk about each of those breeds, the maintenance, the care, any, you know, behavioral traits that, you know, they're going to be faced with based on a breed. And then if they, you know, are wanting an, a more of an adult dog versus a puppy, and why, and what, you know, what they feel like their challenges are, the pros and cons of getting a shelter dog. And, you know, there's a lot of families that can handle, you know, some of the baggage that some of the shelters dog, the shelter dogs or rescue dogs come with. And there's some people that just simply can't, go through that. And not saying that all shelter rescue dogs have behavioral problems, but they all come with baggage from their previous people or environment or situation that they need to be prepared for. And so we talk about, you know, getting a dog from a breeder and what you're going to look at there and how that whole process works versus getting a retired breeding dog, if you will, and what that scenario looks like. And so we really talk about the whole gamut of, you know, from puppyhood to rescues to breeds to looks, and the whys around it.
Okay. So just to back up for one second. So it sounds like you, in your vast experience helping families through this process, even families that don't have a particular breed in mind, mm-hmm. that they articulate, they still, they, people are drawn to the look of a dog.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yes.
So no matter what, people seem to like certain dogs more based on their looks, mm-hmm. than, at least initially,
yep.
than their necessarily their quote breed characteristics or mannerisms.
Correct.
Is that, mm-hmm. is that what you're
100%.
That's
yep.
interesting.
Yeah.
So then for people listening, if you are in this situation of thinking about getting a dog for your kids and for your mm-hmm. family, that would be a good first step to
for
go
sure.
to with your whole family,
mm-hmm.
perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Because probably different people in the family have a different idea.
Mm-hmm.
But ask, maybe even ask the kids, like,
for sure,
what kind of dog do you like, right?
Yep.
And then narrow it down from there. And then let's talk a little bit more about the next thing you talked about in terms of you being the person that some families consult with to help them pick a breed or a mm-hmm. specific dog. You then take the look that they're describing, whether it's maybe just little or big, mm-hmm. or long-haired or short-haired or fluffy or mm-hmm. sleek, and then you turn that into breeds in your
yep.
mind, right?
Yep.
So talk a little bit about families. Again, you've worked with so many different families, and there families have some commonalities, but more in terms of dogs, there are differences. Like some families have at least one parent that's home, or kids that are home, or kids that are, or families that are just out the door at 6 a.m. and don't get back till 10 p.m. because of all the activities. Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about, you know, without necessarily going into specifics about breed, but what kinds of things in your mind are you going over when you're thinking through breeds with people based on both what they're looking at in mm-hmm. terms of looks of dog, but also what they've described for you about their lifestyle?
Yeah. So all of those questions are to get people thinking about how the dog is going to fit into the equation and where the most work is going to lie. And I can pretty much guarantee that the work adding a dog to your family will always fall to mom. Always. Now,
and there are many, many families that you've worked with.
Yep. So, and even backing up even more, it falls to the one that's the nurturer of the family. So even, you know, even between you and Anne, who's the more nurturing one between you and Anne?
Yeah. I mean, I think, I think it's probably me.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I'm trying to think, I mean, I'm trying to be objective, but yeah,
for sure.
I mean,
yeah.
Anne is the,
there always
the playmate
is.
Mm-hmm. Everyone, mm-hmm. but yeah, I'm going to be the nurturer. I imagine that's what everyone.
It is. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter gender. It doesn't matter dynamics of the family. The one that is the most nurturing will give and do the most. And, you know, I have one little family that their middle son is the nurturer and he does the most with the dog. He steps in, he does the most. He's involved in getting him out of the crate. He tries to fit it around his schedule. He's very caring and he wants to make sure that we're, you know, doing everything just right for the dog. Mom and dad are both professionals working out of the home a fair amount. Everybody's fairly active, but he is the biggest nurturer of the family. It doesn't always happen to be the kids. And so that's why I'm like, I got to back up here because it's not always mom, but it is the one who is the biggest nurturer in the household.
That's fascinating.
That it falls to. And so it helps me when they talk about, you know, when I get their activities and what's happening and getting to know them better and getting descriptions of them, it helps me see who the nurturer is. And I try at that point to guide them into a dog that meets their criteria of looks and size and all of that, to more of that person that's the nurturer, and then we go into personality from there.
Okay. Personality of the dog.
Of the dog. Mm-hmm.
Based on
who the nurturer
breed
is.
Alone, or based on the dynamics of each individual dog?
Yeah, breed doesn't matter when we get into personality traits, because, I mean, we have breed characteristics and then we have personalities. So not looking at breed characteristics, we're looking at personality. I want the personality of the dog to fit and mesh the best with whoever the nurturer is in the family.
Got it. So if the nurturer is someone who loves like perfection, mm-hmm. getting back to another podcast that we've recently done on obedience, loves perfection and drilling and like exercises, then maybe you would pick a personality of a dog who is really going to enjoy obedience training or agility training or some type of work that's very structured. While if the personality of the nurturer is, oh, they just kind of like to go wander around the neighborhood mm-hmm. with their skateboard, you're going to pick a dog that has the personality of just kind of happy-go-lucky and happy to wander around the neighborhood.
Yep.
Is that
correct?
Kind of a good, mm-hmm. regardless of what breed it is. It could be a German Shepherd, or it could be a Lab, or it could be a Havanese, or it doesn't matter the breed.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep.
So then you did say, and I'm gonna kind of get back to this statement about the work will always fall to the mom. We can caveat that with the most recent part of this conversation that it's gonna fall to the nurturer. But
Yes.
let's get into a little bit, regardless. You're talking to a family, or we are here on this podcast talking to a family who wants to get a dog for their kids. Let's get into that a little bit. What does that look like in most families, regardless of who the nurturer is?
Yeah.
Even this family you just talked about with
For
the kid
sure.
who's the most involved. What do parents need to know about this
Yeah.
journey of getting a dog?
They need to know that they are the one that is the most responsible for that dog's needs to be met. It doesn't matter who does them, but they are in charge of making sure that dog's needs are met. And so if you have an incredibly busy lifestyle and the kids are going constantly, then how think about how the needs are going to be met. Can, Jason come home from junior high school, and that's when he has an hour before he has to head to lacrosse, that he's got to get the dog out at 3 o'clock, and that's his time. Now we have to put homework aside at that point. So homework now comes after lacrosse. And so, how are we going to meet the needs of the dog? And is a puppy, can a puppy be in that scenario where it's going to be in its crate for 6 hours every day? Or do we need to get an older dog that doesn't necessarily have to, stay in the crate all the time? Initially, yes, but not, it's a quicker progression outside of the crate. Does an older dog need as much versus a puppy and the timing around a puppy? And so, as parents, you are ultimately responsible to make sure that that dog has food, proper sleep, proper play, and proper exercise to help that dog function in your household. And it will always fall to the parent to pick up those pieces when our kids get busy. The other thing that happens is it's really a cool thought and idea to have a puppy, but kids are so busy that they want to come home and snuggle with the puppy or the dog, and that's it. Like, that's all they have the capacity to do. And I think you have to recognize that in your kids, is you're not getting a dog to teach them responsibility. You teach responsibility by taking care of and doing what you need to do as a parent as it relates to the dog. And when the kids see that, they're either going to choose to step in and be a part of it or not to. But everybody that says, I've never had a dog my adult life. My parents, we had one growing up, but my parents did everything. That's normal.
Yeah.
Normal.
And I think, especially just as you're talking, thinking about kids' trajectories over life, kids change so much, right? I mean, and that's normal. But you may say, as a family, we've got these great, these really enthusiastic school-age kids who are, 8 and 10, and they come home every day and they have plenty of time, and we're all going to go for a walk as a family, and that's great for a couple of years. And then middle
Yeah.
school starts, and then high school starts, and your dog is still your dog, and they are still needing all the things that dogs need, but your kids are now doing very different things and very different activities every single day than they were when they were 8 and 10.
Yeah.
And a natural progression of a family, even if with its homework, like
Yeah.
suddenly they have a lot more homework. So
Right.
that's something that I can imagine just personally, I might not think about necessarily.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so what about families who, I have a couple of questions, but let's start with what about families who have already adopted or purchased or somehow acquired a dog for their kids? What how does that what are your thoughts about that in terms of helping this family move forward with their new bundle of joy?
Yeah, that's a more common thing, Rebecca, with most families is they don't consult anybody. They know they want a dog. They've taken advice of neighbors and friends and family. And then, you know, they've met several dogs around the neighborhood and then they go out and get this dog, or they go to the shelter and adopt. You know, that they've done that step most of the time. And then what happens is they're like, this is so overwhelming and so time consuming. And we're so exhausted that we need help. And that's usually the trigger of people calling. And that's the situation that they're in. And so what I do is come in and balance out life with the dog and help them learn to have the dog live around their lifestyle and not them trying to meet the needs that they think that the dog needs to be doing or having, or, you know, all of that. So it's like, okay, now we have it and here's life, and it's really overwhelming. And, you know, the parents are feeling overwhelmed. And one of the parents is, you know, usually just the nature of life. You know, you have one parent that's driving them everywhere, getting everybody up, and one parent works the most. Not that both parents don't work, but there's usually a little bit of a balance there. And so we've added one more thing onto that already overwhelmed parent. And so I take that and balance out, what's the routines? Where does this dog or puppy fit into it? How can it change? And to give you permission to put the dog in the crate or put the dog outside, or even simply giving you permission to put the dog in the car to take the kids to school. It's a great outing. It's great stimulation. The dog has a job to take the kids to school and pick them up. And you're not worried about, I got to get home, I got to do this, I got to, one more thing, where the dog can go along with those routines of life instead of you trying to add one more thing to your plate.
Great. So to summarize a little bit here, we started this conversation by me saying, say you as a dog trainer are faced with the ideal situation for a dog trainer, meaning that a family comes to you as a blank canvas. Mm-hmm. But to sort of interject here that the vast majority of families and humans, whether it's families with kids or an individual, they have already done. They don't go through the whole thought process ahead of time that we described in detail. And what they do is somehow, one way or another, they have a dog. Mm-hmm. And the piece that I want to emphasize here is that if that is your situation, which most likely it is, if you're listening to this podcast, there's great things to do to help your dog become part of your family right in the beginning. And so you've mentioned a couple of those. Are there other things? I mean, like referencing another podcast that we've recently done, I always feel like the first thing that people, my friends and I and my family, is, okay, we're going to go to obedience school. Mm-hmm. Is that something you recommend? Or what are the, aside from integrating your dog into your life, what kinds of things do you tell families in this situation?
Yeah, Rebecca, that's really good. And I think that it's a great way to explain some of my passion and being in homes. And I really, really, really enjoy people and their dogs and their relationship that they develop with their dogs. And if I went in most homes and said, okay, you now need to go and figure out how you're going to put obedience training into this equation, going to a class, you know, leaving at 6 o'clock when dinner still needs to be done, homework still needs to be done, we're trying to get ready for the next day, kids are going to, I mean, it's so overwhelming. And I get that deer in the head, like, look, like, oh my gosh, you just hit me with a freight train because I can't handle one more thing. And to me, that is, I respect that so much. And I think that we can get so caught up into saying, you have to do all these things for your dog to make him a good dog. And you have to make the time for it. And man, that's just not true. our dogs have evolved into our lifestyle and what life is, that they're so moldable that it became a passion. And when you and I partnered up to do our online dog training platform, that's why. Because, you know, me as a mom and busy life, if I could sit down, the kids are in bed, sit in front of the fire and watch a training video and know that I can add this in for 2 minutes of my day and my dog will ultimately be obedience trained or trained into my lifestyle. Man, what a relief. What a time that you're like, I can't do one more thing. And I think that's just life in general. We get so busy that we want a dog in our life and we know that, you know, what it will fill in our life and all the joys of having a dog. But you want me to go and put one more thing on my calendar? I can't. Like, I can't. And so it's great that you got a dog and it's overwhelming and it's a lot because it's just another living creature to take care of. But you don't have to go to obedience class. You don't even have to go to a dog park. Listen to some of our other podcasts. You don't have to, you know, if you can make it around the block, if you can walk out to the car and take him to the grocery store in not hot weather, it's an adventure and they love it. And they're not looking forward to the walk tomorrow. They're not thinking about the dog park and all their friends. They just want to connect with you as human beings because that's what we've domesticated them into. So no, don't add one more thing to your schedule because you already have by getting a dog. And that's great and it's good. But there's so many resources out there. And I feel like our platform helps those families really in this situation of it's a lot. It's a lot. And we have online classes. And I mean, it's stuff that fits around your schedule for a busy family.
Yeah. Yeah. So, in terms of getting a dog for your family, mm-hmm. I guess two things. One, if you haven't done it already, take a step back and think about, listen to the beginning of this podcast again and go through those steps of, instead of picking out like, oh, I want a golden retriever because my parents always had golden retrievers, mm-hmm. go back to the fundamentals and look at both what you like in the look of a dog and also how a dog might fit into your family, mm-hmm. and be diligent about that process. But then more like equally importantly, but probably more generalizable, if you already have a dog and this is a new dog in your household, there are some ways that even if you haven't gone through that diligent, detailed process of picking the perfect dog for your family and you have the perfect dog who is already in your family, mm-hmm. then there are ways that it can become a joy and less overwhelming by helping the dog integrate into your daily life, mm-hmm. instead of making it be one more thing.
Yep. And I think, it's 100%. And I think what's, you know, again, I'm not trying to sell our online platform, but we have been so passionate about this that we have a lesser subscription that you can get on our Facebook group and ask other dog owners, hey, what breeds? Why do you like that breed? You know, we're thinking about this. What's everybody's experience in getting a rescue dog? What are things that we need to look out for? So you're not only getting our perspective from dog trainers, but you're getting like everyday human beings that have dogs, that's a part of our community that can help support you and go, you know, it's easy, it's hard. This is what I did. This is what made things easier. And then we, you know, you finally get that dog and you jump into our course subscription, which is got all of our training videos and all of that stuff to like take you to the next level. So again, I think this is a great conversation because a lot of what we're talking about is what drove us to, you know, get the online platform going to help as many people as we possibly can. You have a dog, you want a dog, get a dog. Dogs are amazing. They bring lovely things into our lives as they bring lovely things into our kids' life, but it doesn't have to be hard.
Yeah, I think that I agree 100% that is my experience with dogs is it doesn't have to be hard. Even with the hardest dog,
mm-hmm.
they can fit into your life if you help them adapt to your life. And I totally agree with you that our online platform is a great place to have this discussion, both with us, but also with dog owners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then learn a bit on the way.
Yeah. So get a dog for your family, knowing that ultimately the parents, you're in charge and it falls onto you. However you accomplish that, it still ultimately falls onto you. And that's something that you should think about. Thank you for being a part of our dog training podcast. Our goal is to help you train through the eyes of your dog. We want you to go on amazing adventures and accomplish all your dog training goals. For more dog training adventure, read our blog and join our dog training community at dogtraining360.com. You can find us on Instagram at dog_training_360 and all other social media channels from TikTok to LinkedIn under dogtraining360. We would love it if you shared your dog training journey with us. Now let's get into training.